Your name?
Jason McGahey.
Well, Jason, first of all, what is the name of where we're standing right here on this park in Wall Street?
This is Liberty Plaza, Reclaimed Space for the People.
And what was its name a week ago? 10 days ago?
Zuccotti Park. It's a private owned park here by Wall Street, and we've been occupying it and I've taken it back over for the people.
And what brought you here?
I came from Illinois to stand up for my future and for the future of this country. For the last 5 years, I've worked with supporting individuals with developmental disabilities, and for the last couple years, I've had to explain to them why their services are being cut back, why they're not able to go out into the community anymore, why they're trapped in their homes and losing their staff. And knowing that more cuts are going to be coming, I couldn't bear to look them in the face and tell them that this country doesn't care about them. And so I decided instead I would, I quit my job, moved out of my apartment, and I've come to Liberty Plaza to occupy it and stand up for them and for all of us.
What are some of those conversations like?
Well, I remember a year or so ago, I was working at one of the homes that I was working at was for independent living people, and their grant had been cut. They lost all of their funding, and we were in a meeting with them, explaining to them that they were losing their support, that losing their staff, they were on their own, and all of the individuals were just crying, not understanding what was going on, and they were asking us, "Why are you leaving us? What don't you care about us? Why are you leaving?" And it brought tears to my eyes, like trying to sit there and console them, saying, "We do care about you. We truly do care about you." But the politicians are continuing to cut your funding. And
what happens to those individuals? The support that you offer, these people have difficulty making it through the day, the week. So what happens when this support dries up?
I mean, it's potentially very dangerous. We assist with like hygiene to make sure they stay safe and healthy. We assist with their medications to make sure they don't overdose or miss their medications. Make sure they get healthy meals, and in other programs, they need assistance to make sure that they don't get lost in their communities, that they don't go off with strangers. I mean, just depending on the needs of the individual, it's extremely dangerous for them not to have their support staff.
That's an extraordinary step to quit your job and come here to New York to raise your voice.
I personally didn't really feel like I had any other option. I've been here for today marks a week that I've been here. It's been just an absolutely amazing experience, and this is just one occupation. There are many occupations going on across this country. There's a movement building on the voice of the people saying enough is enough. We've had it with the system standing up only for the richest 1% of this country, and we, the 99%, are rising up. Our time is now.
What does it say about this country from the billions that are spent, Iraq, Afghanistan, the bailouts, and contrast that with what you see with individuals who need basic assistance to make it through the day and not having the resources to fund positions like you had?
I think it really shows what the government of this country values. We the people talk all the time about we love freedom, we love equality, that these are values that we hold dear, but the actions of our government really show quite the opposite. We go into imperial wars across the country to take the resources, the same thing as what we've done for generations. And we continue to cut the services that the people in this country need. It's neoliberalism is neocolonialism. It's the same old game is still going on. It's just the rules are changing. So I think people are kind of, more people are waking up to the wider things of what's going on. Realizing that, I think people are starting to realize that across the many struggles that are going on right now, they're all connected. There's one struggle for the liberation of us all, and that any of us are going to win, then the struggles have to come together. And for me, that's what gives me hope about what's going on now is these occupations going on across the country. It's bringing people together from all sorts of struggles. It's solidifying possibly the beginnings of a whole new movement of bringing the country together in a whole new way.
You're coming down to D.C. in a little bit, October 6th?
Yeah. I pledged to be there for the occupation in Freedom Plaza in D.C. And I'm going to hopefully get in the day before for the nonviolence training. And I will be there for the first day to lend my support for the occupation in D.C. I'd hope for the end of the wars, stop the machine, create a new world.
Now, if I'd asked you this question a couple days ago, the answer would have been no. But as you've explained before the interview began, the answer is now yes. Have you been arrested?
Yeah, I was arrested for the first time in my entire life on Saturday. 93 of us were arrested in whole. The march was absolutely incredible. We were going down the streets, standing up for our rights and for the rights of everyone, screaming, "We are the 99%, so are you." We took the streets. We actually weaved through traffic from time to time. There was a wonderful response from the population that we were on the streets. A lot of people joined from the sidewalks to join our march, and a whole lot more people lended their support to us. But throughout when this was going on, the police were just grabbing random people who looked like they were from the media or who looked like they were helping to direct the march, would grab them, tackle them, punch them in the face, body slam some small women, and just were outright brutal. Eventually, towards the end of the march, they brought out when we were trying to come back to Liberty Plaza, back to our home, our encampment, the police brought out what we were calling nets. They were like long orange, kind of like plastic netting to block off like construction zones. And they would block off the street from sidewalk to sidewalk to ensure that our march couldn't go through, that we could not come back to the occupation. After about going down about five different streets and having each time blocked off, about 40 of us decided, okay, we're trapped here. We're not leaving, we're going home. You're the ones blocking traffic to the police. And we sat down nonviolently, leaving a path through the sidewalk, which no one could go through the sidewalk because the police had it blocked off. But that way they couldn't say we were obstructing pedestrian traffic. We sat down, I was trying to explain to the police, do you know your history? Don't you understand that women's rights, civil rights, workers' rights, it all happened through nonviolent civil disobedience. This is our history. That's, we're standing up for you, we're standing up for all of us. Eventually, the police, the net was coming up from the other side. We were completely trapped in. And the police from that side said, okay, you guys are free to go. You guys can leave. Just stand up and go towards the front. And so I made my peace with the officers, said, thank you. That's all we're trying to do. And as we walked up to the other end, the white-shirted officers, the ones with the real power, the ones who have been the actual oppressors of this situation, they said, turn around, put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest. So after we'd already been told we were free to go, that's when they said we were under arrest. I know my rights were never read to me. From my understanding, I don't believe anyone's rights were read to them. I was not told what I was being charged with. The zip ties I was arrested with were put on put on extremely tight. I was in them for over 4 hours. They put us all on a city bus and brought us to the precinct, and we were sitting on this bus outside the precinct. They had no idea what they were going to do with us for about 4 hours. And by the time I finally got them off, I'd started to lose circulation in my hands and my arm. I had about an eighth an inch indentation all around my wrist. And when they came off, my hands swelled up from the blood rushing in. Were swelled up for about an hour after that. I didn't get released until about 3:30 that morning after being arrested and locked up for about 12 hours. They eventually gave me a disorderly conduct violation, which I was lucky. It's less than a misdemeanor. It's not really anything, but still, the fact of the matter is, we were standing up for our rights. We were expressing our rights via the Constitution, our freedom to assemble, simply trying to come back, and they were the ones obstructing traffic. We were not obstructing traffic. We told them we were trying to come back. They're the ones that would not let us leave. They're the ones that made us stay there. They're the ones that made us obstruct the traffic there. They committed the crime, not us.
And you were trying to get back to right here, the park. Can you describe the park? Over your shoulder right now, a number of boxes, including from Amazon, shipments seem to have come in But describe the park for folks who haven't seen it.
The park's a pretty incredible place. We have a media center set up where we're putting our message out to the country around the world, letting people know what we're doing. We have a food center set up where food is being donated, where we're setting up food to help feed the people that are coming in. And it's just been a beautiful thing. We have a first aid center set up for anyone's medical needs. We have a library set up. We have a comfort center set up for hygiene products, for blankets. It's a pretty remarkable thing. We have the country doesn't have free healthcare, free education, free food, but right here in Liberty Plaza, where we're creating a new world, these things are here. These are the foundations of what we're fighting for, is the rights of all of us to come together.
Folks have been sleeping out here. Have you been sleeping out here?
Yeah, I've been sleeping out here since Wednesday. So since about the 21st, and people have been sleeping out here since the 17th when this all began.
Talk about is it afternoon and evening? There's a rough schedule, and then there's a speak out where you have a lot of people gathered right about this spot, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, yeah. So two times a day at around 1 o'clock and around 7 o'clock, we hold general assemblies, where we come together, where all of us and our supporters and people just who are curious about what's going on here come, and we hold these assemblies. So it's a participatory, direct participatory democracy, where all voices are heard, no one is shut out, we're all equals here, there are no leaders, everyone has a chance to speak who wants to speak. We're trying to build up our connections and our solidarities. And it's been a beautiful process. I mean, it's rough birthing pains of democracy, so it can be rough and frustrating. But I mean, democracy can be frustrating. So I mean, you'll have that. But it's a beautiful process. It's a truly beautiful process of the people trying to come together and try to envision of what if we truly had freedom in this country, if we truly had equality in this country, what would it look like? And so we're.
Go ahead, you were going to say.
I don't know.
And so I watched a clip of Michael Moore speaking to folks here, and then they would repeat what he was saying. Yeah. Is that because, have bullhorns been, so that you're not allowed to use bullhorns here, or is that voluntary?
No, the police will not allow us to use blowhorns. From what I understand, if we try to, the person might get arrested who tries to use the blowhorn. It's used to try to suppress our voice, to make it so where we cannot organize and come together. But despite of that, we're doing what's called the people's mic, where someone says something and then the masses of us repeat it after them. And so so the one voice, so all of our voices amplify the one voice. And so it's so from the repression of our rights, we have come forth and created and actually amplified our voice. We've come back from it, and we've said we're even stronger. The more you try to repress us, the stronger we will be. A couple people were just arrested a little bit ago for having bandanas, and so we were kind of chanting to them, "You take one of us, more will come. You take one of us, more will come." Understanding that the more the police try to repress us, the more that what we're doing is trying to be stopped. More people will understand what's actually going on here, and more people will come. After the police brutality on Saturday, our numbers expanded exponentially. Our support has expanded exponentially. So the more that these sorts of things happen, the stronger we will be.
Can you talk about the situation where you mentioned before we started the interview that you had, appeared to be lawyers passing out flyers saying you're going to be, this is not legal what you're doing. But talk about that. And then there was a change of events where apparently the folks who have control of this had a very different message for you.
Yeah, as far as I understand what's going on, both Saturday and Sunday, the police were escorting a bunch of suited lawyers through here who had notice papers on saying what you guys are doing is illegal. You're not allowed to camp here. This is a private space. You aren't allowed to be here. Trying to scare us out. Trying to suppress this movement. And so we were on Sunday we were chanting, "Don't take the papers," and they were still kind of putting them out along the, so the suits were escorted by the police. We're just setting them out on the ground on the benches. So we were saying, you're littering. Isn't this a crime? You're littering. And so so they're trying to kick us out. But just yesterday during the GA, a man came.
The General Assembly.
Yep, the General Assembly came and said, from my remembrance and understanding, that he was a representative from the board of directors that actually own this park, and that they had voted and decided that we are free to stay here. And like, not only that, but he said that he was friends with Abby Hoffman, he was friends with Allen Ginsberg, that what we're doing here is the heart of democracy, that this is the foundations of what this country was founded on, which was a beautiful thing. And so it's like, and saying that like the community is supporting us, which is just incredible. And since then, definitely today, there hasn't been any notices passed out saying we can't be here. So it makes me think that the lawyers that came through were not representatives of this community, were not representatives of the owners of this property, but were actually lawyers from the police department or whatnot. So it was all just a trick to try to suppress us. But the fact of the matter is, the community is supporting us. We have the right to be here, and we're even being told by people that own this that we have the right to be here. And surprisingly, they support us, which is just an absolutely beautiful thing. It's a relief.
Thanks so much for your time. Any final thoughts you care to share?
There's occupations going that are booming across this country. Our time is now. If we want freedom, if we want democracy, this is the best chance we have to actually stand up for it and try to demand it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.